Father, as always, I thank you. Lord, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask for that light to shine upon our hearts and upon our ways. As it is written, light is sown for the righteous. And Lord, we thank you because our path is made brighter more and more unto the perfect day by the entrance of your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning and welcome again and good afternoon. Today's lesson on our belief series, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. I know I've touched on things like this in the past, but I wanted to bring this, and I will tell us a story. You know, when God gives the word, God also watches over that word, and there is need sometimes, and God does that by himself. He doesn't need any counselors to put things into motion in order for his word that he spoke to be able to come to pass. So let's consider a few scriptures just to help us on this belief series, because this year we must have the confidence that what God already spoke will come to pass, no matter what it looks like. That's why we are hammering on these things. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 12, the Lord not only promises and gives instruction, but he also says that he will bring it to pass by himself. He said, "For I will hasten my word to perform it." That's Jeremiah 1 and 12. Well, that's a lead-off scripture today. God will hasten his own word to perform it. Now, there are many places in the Bible where, the word of the Lord will be given, from either a man of God, the angel of the Lord speak from heaven or whatever. You know, and the Lord would orchestrate things in order for these things to come to pass that he has spoken. There is a prophecy that the Lord gave from God's viewpoint, it's not a prophecy. He just says the way it's going to be. From our viewpoint, it was a prophecy. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, the Lord revealed a few things that he was going to do way ahead of time. I'm going to read from verses 11 and 25. Verses 11 and 12 of Jeremiah 25. "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolations." Well, the Lord spoke that word, and other people heard it, like Daniel heard it, and many people heard it. But more importantly, God will do certain things in order to cause it to come to pass. Now, of course, Daniel, he understood by the books, we are told, and that 70 years are determined upon the children of Israel. And this was the same thing that he was referring to, and he began to pray But when he began to pray, we know the story, certain things happened. Even the devil tried to block his prayer, you know, but the Lord always came through. Praise the Lord. Now, before Daniel began to pray that prayer that he understood by the books, you can read that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. He said, in the first year of the reign, that he, Daniel, understood by the books. Well, those books were the books of Jeremiah that we just read. And God began to put in his heart because he had understood what God said. Understanding is so key. Darius was the king at the time, you know, and Daniel, he said, I understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications and fasting and sackcloth and ashes and so forth, and to make confession. So Daniel knew the word of God. He understood the timing. And then God began to move his heart toward prayer. And that's how things work in the realm of the spirit. First, God says something. And then as the time of that thing begins to come near, then God begins to move people to pray towards it. And also he begins to orchestrate things that will make it come to pass. Now, one, there's some things that God said to us since last year, Emerge, and this year, the Quantum Leap. Now, because the time is here, you know, and as we saw that even the time was drawing near, was the end of last year, God began to put in our hearts to speak more about it, to pray more about it, to encourage the people more about it, because the Lord said it is time. So we got to do that. But now we got to go one step further to where the Lord will actually begin to put things into place because of what he said in order for it to come to pass. Let's read in the book of Ezra chapter 1. Let's read how the Lord put it out. Ezra chapter 1 verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, which we just read. Then the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and put it also in writing. Now, the king probably didn't know why he was doing it. But it was God that stirred him up in order to bring to pass the word of the Lord that God gave through the mouth of Jeremiah. Because as that time was coming near, then God began to stir things up, put things into motion. And that's how God does his thing. You know, and Cyrus, the king of Persia, said, the Lord God of heaven had given me all the kingdoms of the earth. Thank God for someone who actually acknowledges God for the great things that he has accomplished. And he said, the Lord charged me. And the Lord did charge him. You can read also in Isaiah chapter 45. The Lord charged him. You know, said, I will say of Cyrus, thou art my servant, and thou shalt do my pleasure, and so forth. You know, the Lord charged him. Said, the Lord had charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now, who is among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord. You know, he is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, you know, the priests, the Levites, and all of them in whose the spirit of the Lord is, you know, let them go up to the house of the Lord and build. Hallelujah. And so this man, God put it in his heart, because the Lord said it was time. And there was a particular word that God needed to bring to pass. So he was watching over it. That's why the Bible says here, in order that the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet might be fulfilled, the Lord began to do this thing. If you read in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, you'll see how God was the one that made Cyrus to do his will. You know, he said, look, I have called you. The Lord told him, you know, thus said the Lord to his anointed, even to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him, you know, and so forth. And the Lord began to, you know, just endow him with ability to do many things. But, you know, among those things that he will do, God is going to put in his heart to do this thing. Hallelujah. And he will do it because the Lord put it in his heart. But it is God that stirred him up to do it. Well, let's read a story in Acts chapter 7. And if you read the whole of Acts chapter 7, you will see it contains a powerful delivery or sermon that Stephen preached to the Jews at the time of his testimony, leading just before they stoned him to death. And he began to bring many things out, mighty things, that the way he preached that sermon, you know. And here's what he said in verse 17 of that chapter 7 of Acts. He said, but when the time of the promise drew near, see, which God has sworn to Abraham. So there is a time of the promise that God knows, and it's in his mind. And we may not know the time, but we can understand by the books, or we can also understand by the word of the Lord, or by the spirit of prophecy that the Lord will give. You know, sometimes the Lord will just do that. You know, he put a prophetic mantle upon his people, and they begin to declare the word of the Lord. You know, and then, the others might recognize, oh, this is what the Lord is saying. Now, when the time of promise drew near, which God had promised. Now, remember, God told Abraham, your seed, know of a surety that this will happen to your seed. This was even before he had a child. Genesis chapter 15. The Lord said, look, know of a surety that your seed will, you know, they will become large, but they are going to become strangers in a land, you know, and so forth, another land, and that nation is going to torment them and all that stuff. And afterwards, I'll bring them out with a great hand, and I will punish that nation. The Lord told Abraham all these things. In fact, fear gripped him in his heart when the Lord told him all these things. You know, there was a quaking that came upon him in the night. The Lord told him all these things, you know. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. You know, and so on. He told him all these things. So, as Stephen was bringing all this forth, proving by the scriptures that Christ was indeed the son of David, and the lineage of Abraham, and so on. You know, he come to the point of the story in Joseph, and all of that. And he said, look, when the time of the promise drew near, which God had promised to Abraham, you know, well, you know, what happened was, you know, even though at first they were flourishing in Egypt, when Pharaoh had tremendous favor towards Joseph. Joseph brought all his family and so forth, and they were promoted in the land and everything. Well, after a while, as you know the story, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, another Pharaoh came, and all of that, and the tables turned, and the people began to conspire against the children of Israel to make them slaves, so that, and to kill them and do all kinds of things, and to make sure that they didn't flourish. Well, Stephen said, when the time of the promise drew near, which God had promised to Abraham, then certain things began to come to pass. You know, see, the people began to grow. They began to multiply. Now, it was as the time of the promise drew near. Not when the time of the promise had come. Not quite yet, but it was drawing near. And so God allowed time for events to develop. And, you know, these events develop. Another king arose that knew not Joseph, and they dealt with, evil hand upon the children of Israel. And, you know, evil entreated their children, their fathers, cast out their young. At the end, they might not live, and so on. He told all these stories. But the point is this. In order for the word of the Lord that God spoke to Abraham, in order for that word to be fulfilled, certain things had to come into play. You know, one of those things was even the story of Joseph himself. Well, his story, if you combine it into one element out of this whole picture, was one year thing that had to happen. But in that story, there were many elements. A lot of things happened to Joseph to get to the point where he will be in a position, you know, to save not only his family, but save the world at that time. And when his family would come and all the things that happened, you know, God allowed all those things to come to pass in order that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. And as a matter of fact, in order that the word of the Lord to Joseph might be fulfilled concerning his dreams, that his brothers will bow down to him, all those things had to happen to him. And so on and so forth. Now, many times, the enemy will also hear the things that the people of God are hearing. You know, so if God gives the word and you hear it, the devil will hear it too. So he will try, you know, to do everything he can, you know, to sabotage that promise. And that's what he does. But what is the Lord's response? You know, how does the Lord hasten his word? And how does the Lord protect his word? Now, we talked about some months ago, we talked about providence, you know, that will guide, you know, your life and so forth, God's providence and so forth, to make continuous provision to make sure his purpose in your life is fulfilled. Now, here's what the Lord said in Isaiah, you know, chapter 44. When the enemy comes after the word of God to try to make it of non-effect, because he heard the same things that you heard, you know, the same things. It's like the Bible says, well, the same rain falls upon the good vegetation and also the bad vegetation, which is the weeds. So the same rain falls on both. Well, the same word of the Lord that was spoken, that energized the people of God to believe God. Well, the devil heard the same word too. You know, so he's going to try to do something about it. But here is what the Lord said. I want to read from Isaiah 44, verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Now, he's putting this in the past now. Ye lower parts of the earth, shout, he said, and break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every living thing. For the Lord had redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Now, at this point in time, it hadn't actually literally happened, but, you know, this is being declared in the realm of the spirit, the realm of faith and believing. And here's the response of God to every attempt of the devil to sabotage what the Lord is trying to do. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. You know, sometimes God has to remind us that. I stretched forth the heavens alone, and I spread out the earth by myself. I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. And I will bring it to pass. Beyond that, I am the one that frustrated the tokens of the liars. You know, everyone that tried to make the word of God of non-effect, because they heard the same thing. In the spirit realm, the devil heard the same things that you are hearing. And he's going to try to make that word, sabotage that word, and steal those words from you. But the Lord said, I will frustrate the tokens of the liars. I will make all diviners mad. I will turn back wise men. I'll turn them backward. I'll make their knowledge foolish. But on the other hand, I will confirm the word of my servant. That's right. And perform the counsel of my messengers. You know, I say it to Jerusalem, I shall be built. Well, Jeremiah, he said it. And others, you know, proclaimed it. And the Lord said, look, my zeal will watch over it and so forth. Thou shalt be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. So when the Lord promises restoration, revival, recovery, refreshing, and all these things, you know, the devil will stand up to fight. But we need to assure ourselves that there is a way and things that God set in motion to bring that word to pass. Now, I'm going to tell us a story. Two stories, you know, here in the Bible to illustrate this point. Now, the first story that I want to tell, you know, in fact, let me shift it around. I have two stories. I'll tell this one first. I'll tell the other one second. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, the story about the widow of Zarephath, right? Now, this widow, there's a silent story that there that we don't know. We don't know what was going on, but silently there was something that God needed to do for this widow woman. This widow woman had a son. Her husband was dead, and the famine had been very sore in the land for more than 3 years and so forth. No rain everywhere. Elijah called for that. And so this woman, a silent story was that she might have been crying out to God, you know, for a way out. But she lost hope because she thought the prayer would not be answered. There's no way out. And so one day in her mind, it's like, well, I'm down to what might be our last meal. I'm just going to go and get a couple of sticks, crank up the fire, bake this last piece of bread, and my wife and I will die. My son and I will eat it. I will hold him tight, and we will die. You know, because there's no more. And we've tried everything. In fact, she spaced out their food. They cut it down they couldn't have three meals a day anymore. They cut it down to one meal. You know, and she would just, you know, kept holding her son close and doing the best she can. And there was nothing else she could do. And she said, you know, in her heart, well, you know, this is it. You know, but we're going to die together. I'm just going to hold you in my arms, you know, and whatever happens, happens. We'll die, but we'll be together. And in her mind, it was all gone. But the Lord, in order for the Lord to come to her rescue, in order for the Lord to meet her needs, God had to do something else. Many, many miles away, God had to cause the brook to dry up for Elijah, in order for God to meet this woman's needs. The same God that said to Elijah, get thee up, you know, and go to the brook Cherith and so forth. Said, you know, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there and you drink of the brook and so forth. The Lord gave him instruction after Elijah called for the rain. And it came to pass that, you know, after many days, months, years and so forth, you know, because there had been no rain in the land, Elijah himself became a victim of his own prophecy. And everything dried up, but the Lord allowed it so. Because here is what the Lord said unto him. He said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be, this is 1 Kings 17 verse 3. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. That's what the Lord said. And so Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord. You know, he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, just like the Lord said. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and so forth. In the evening as well, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while, I guarantee you, a long while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, how do you connect these two stories? Well, here's how you connect it. The word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. For I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Well, the Lord knew that. The Lord knows how to pick them. He knows somebody who is going to obey his command. But the Lord suddenly allowed the brook to dry up. Because consider this. The God of heaven that sent the ravens twice a day to bring him, you know, room service. You know, don't you think the Lord could have sustained the brook from drying up? Absolutely. But he didn't. Because he was going to get two for one. So in order for the Lord to save the life of the widow and her little boy, God had to cause the brook to dry up for Elijah. And then when the brook dried up, then the Lord gave him new instruction. He had no further reason to stay there. And the Lord arranged two for one in order that he might do something good. Not just for Elijah, even though Elijah thought it was just for himself. No, you know, it was also for the woman. Because the Lord told him, well, this woman will sustain you. But Elijah was going to sustain the woman as well. So when Elijah went, he found a woman gathering some sticks and spoke to the woman. And until that point that the Lord told Elijah this word, he didn't know anything about it, but God knew everything. The woman herself didn't know anything about it, but God knew everything. And God was going to bring their paths together for a two for one in order that the Lord might meet the needs of this woman. Elijah arrived and found her. And you know the rest of the story. The woman gave him her story about her plight, about how she's going to die from her last meal. But Elijah gave the word of the Lord. And not today, and not for many days. Nobody is dying because the barrel of meal will not fail. Neither will the cruse of oil. Barrel of meal will not waste or the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord brings rain. From now until then, you'll be good. So, in order for God to bring to pass that thing in the life of the widow woman, which he didn't even know that the Lord was going to do it, God had to do something else way over here in order to bring that to pass. Now, here's another more interesting story. The book of 2 Kings chapter 7. And again, you know, this is similar to, you know, there's also a famine in the land. Now, this other famine is caused by, you know, the enemies of the children of Israel cutting off their water supply. You know, they surrounded them, they cut off their water supply and so forth. They dug around the city and they made sure that, you know, nobody going in and out, nothing going on. You know, for them. So, you know, and then there's, you know, a great distress in the land and so on. So Elisha, one day, you know, he spoke up and said, look, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of bile for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Well, Samarians or Samaritans or whatever, you know, they had besieged them and done all kinds of things. And they are called actually Syrians, you know. They're called Syrians. The Syrians had besieged them and cut off their water supply and surrounded them and so forth. And when Elisha spoke this word, there was no possibility in sight because there was a famine, there was a cry. People were crying out, you know, they were probably dying because they had no food, no water, running out, and everything was so bad. And Elisha gave this outlandish prophecy and said, tomorrow, about this time, there's going to be so much plenty. I mean, you're not even going to know where it came from. It hit you like in the face. And things will be so cheap, you know, that you will not even believe it. Well, of course, you know, there was a chief of army staff there that did not believe what Elisha said. He said, come on now. You know, even if the Lord would open the windows of heaven, can this thing be? Well, and that's a dangerous thing to say when the Lord gives the word. You know, because Elisha said, well, okay. It will be, but you will see, but you will not taste of it because you have not sanctified the word of the Lord in your heart. But the interesting part of the story was that there were four lepers. This was the interesting part. There were four lepers that were outside the gate of the city. You know, by their law and tradition, they had to be outside the city. And so these four lepers said to themselves, look, why do we sit here until we die? You know, if we go into the city, the famine is there. In any case, we are exiled. You know, we can't really go there. But even if we did, the famine is there. If we sit here, we're going to die. You know, going in the city, we're going to die. Sitting here, we're going to die. Well, there's one unknown. Perhaps if we fall to the camp of the Syrians, maybe they'll save us alive, maybe not. I don't even know how they thought they might save them alive. You know, they are lepers to start with. You know, they might probably kill them. But they felt that in their heart, well, two things are certain. We're going to die here if we stay here. We go into the city, we're going to die. Now, this one, maybe we'll die, maybe we won't. Maybe they'll kill us, maybe not. So let's take this chance. Now, God, in order to fulfill the prophecy of Elisha, began to do something here. Began to put in the heart of these lepers to do this thing. So they arose and said, well, let's just go to the camp of the Syrians. If they save us alive, well, and if they don't, well, we're going to die anyway. And so when they arose early in the morning, they went towards the camp of the Syrians. Now, the strange thing in this story was, in order for the Lord to bring to pass the word of Elisha, the prophet, Elisha said the word, and that's it. And God's going to watch over it. I'm the Lord that performed the word of my messengers. Now, for the Lord to watch over that word, he actually put a delusion, a spirit of delusion, upon the camp of the Syrians. When the four lepers were coming, God magnified their footsteps that they sounded like thunderous hoofs of chariots and horses. I mean, just four lepers that were just coming. They were nobody. They were doomed to die. They had nothing going for them. Yet the Lord made their footsteps as they were coming sound like thunderous chariots and horses and different things, and put an illusion, a delusion upon the camp of the Syrians. And they arose and heard the noise of thunderous chariots and horses coming down upon them. It was just four lepers that was going there, you know. And then they all ran. They said, look, these people have gone and hired the Egyptians. They've hired these people, hired the Hittites, hired everybody else against us. They ran and they fled. Now, of course, the lepers didn't know anything about what God put upon those people, but they were just saying, well, let's just take a chance and see if we die or leave. But God, in order to fulfill the word of Elisha, these things were happening. And when they got to the camp of the Syrians, they saw that everybody had fled. And they left in such a hurry. They left all their goods. They left everything. Now, they had prepared and stacked up for many months. They were ready to wait this thing out until the Israelites would tire, you know, all of Judah would tire and submit themselves. So they had a lot of supply. So these people went in, they went into one tent. They said, wow, what happened here? Everybody left. They saw food. They saw supplies. They did things. I said, my goodness. So they took these things. They look around. Nobody. They said, well, maybe they're waiting for us to come in and then kill us. You know, they said, look around. Nobody. They went and hid some stuff. They went back and did some more. Said, wow, my goodness. And then they began to think within themselves, look, this thing we are doing is not good. I mean, it looks like there's so much supply here. And if we hold our peace today and don't go share it with the people, a greater evil might come upon us than even this our leprosy. So they said, well, let's go and tell it to the king, you know, what has happened here. So they went and told it and to one of the chamberlains and said, look, here's what happened. They told their sir, of course, nobody believed it, but some people did. And, you know, the voice king said, well, let's go check it out. And when the people, when it was noised abroad that this, the Syrians had fled and there was so much supply, and the lepers, they brought some sample to say, look, this is some of their stuff that we took. They said, wow. So there was a mad stampede. Everybody were rushing to go there. And this same chief of army staff that had said before, the Lord opened the windows of heaven, and this thing be, he was the one that was appointed to stand in the gate to control traffic of the people. And they, you know, pushed him down, trampled under him, you know, just trampled him down on their feet, and he died in the mad stampede. And, well, the word of the Lord came upon him, like Elisha said, you'll see it, but you won't taste of it. But more than that, the word of the Lord also came to pass that the people, when they went into the camp of the Syrians and got all those supplies, things were sold. You know, you buy two, get one free. Things were just so cheap because the people didn't have to spend money to buy those stuff. They looted the camp of the Syrians. And so things were so cheap, just like Elisha said. But consider the entire story and see that it was so that the word of the Lord given to by Elisha to the people might come to pass. That's why all those things happened. And it came to pass, we're told, that there was two measures of barley sold for a shekel, a measure of flour for a shekel. You know, just like the man of God said, the gate of Samaria, and the man that said, shall these things be? He himself also was trodden underfoot and died in the stampede, because he did not believe the word of the Lord. But the word, the Lord hastened that word and used just the footsteps of four lepers, you know, to scatter the camp of Assyrians. How crazy is that? Well, there's nothing God cannot do in order to bring to pass his word. Now, having told you those stories, you know, this should boost our faith that, look, once it has been spoken, and twice I've heard it. Well, the scripture says that all power belongs to God. But I'm going to say it this way. Once it was spoken last year that you will emerge, and twice now the Lord has spoken and said, well, this will be your year of the quantum leap. So what are you waiting for? The Lord will now watch over his word to perform it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He's going to watch over it and hasten it. And you don't worry about it. He's going to hasten means quantum leap. That's right. He will hasten it. He will make it happen. It's kind of like Jesus got in the boat and he hastened their trip. And all of a sudden they were on the other side. Immediately they were on the other side. Now, here's something that God is doing and will do. Since the Lord gave this word last year, some people have actually started to emerge. But even those that emerged, you know, they went only thus far and didn't go far enough, because some started in the spirit and then, you know, tried to finish it off in the flesh. As they now thought that, oh, we're going to do this. No, you're not going to do it. The Lord is going to do it. And so the Lord had come back and say, okay, what I'm going to do now is take it out of the hands of the people. That's right. You know, sometimes God does that. He'll say to Gideon, look, the people are too many. Send them home. Do this and do that. I can't walk with 32,000. They're too many because they'll think they got the victory by themselves. Send them home. Well, 22,000 went home, you know, and he said, well, there's still too many. I can't walk with them. They'll think they did it by themselves. Do this, do that, do that. You know, so finally, he ended up with only 300. And Lord said, yeah, that's good. That's how I want to do it. And I want to show the people that it's not because of their numbers. It's not because of, you know, their prowess or whatever else, you know, praise the Lord. Now, a powerful scripture that is going, some powerful scriptures will come into play for you this year. Praise the Lord. And you know, I love this, this text in the book of Job. You know, I love this text when Elihu was speaking and, he said, look, I am young and you are very old. So I was afraid and I didn't want to show you my opinion. So I waited for you guys to speak. You know, I said, well, this you speak, multitude of years, you teach wisdom, you know, but you guys, you couldn't tell me anything that showed that you were really wise, or, you know, or measured up to the, your age. I said, look, it's not by how old you are, the number of years, the gray head in your head, and so forth. He said, but there is a spirit in man. Hallelujah. Job 32:8. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And it's not always because, you know, wisdom doesn't always come from great men. It's not understanding. It's not always from the aged and so on. So there's an inspiration. There's a spirit in man that's going to put inspiration. God will bring inspiration. I mean, from nowhere. That you don't even know how it's going to do it. It was inspiration that came to the heart of the lepers what to do. I mean, things that you couldn't even, you know, think of, you know, in order for the word of the Lord to come to pass. So let me put it to us this way. In order for the word of the Lord to come to pass, which he has spoken to us severally at different times, that beginning from last year, we will start to emerge. And this year, he's going to cause us to experience the quantum leap. In order for that word to come to pass, the Lord will watch over the word to hasten it, and he will start to orchestrate things. Now, some of the things that he may orchestrate may actually look like it's going the opposite direction at first, you know, just like Joseph. So many things went in the wrong direction, it looked like at first, in order for the word of the Lord for in that God has shown him to come to pass. All kinds of evil stuff began to happen to him. You know, all the people that ganged up against him to destroy his destiny, to make sure his dreams did not come to pass, they actually unwittingly became destiny helpers. All his would-be destiny destroyers unwittingly, unknowingly became destiny helpers. And they kept pushing him forward closer and closer and closer to his destiny, including the wife of Potiphar that got him sent to prison. And it was in prison that he met the baker and the butler, and you know the rest of the story. And how Joseph would experience that quantum leap. You know, all those things had to happen to him to put him in the right place at the right time. And when the butler finally remembered Joseph, it was 2 years later, but it was at the right time. And Joseph had to be brought before Pharaoh, who had dreamed a dream that nobody else could interpret. And in one moment, Joseph experienced a quantum leap. And all those 13 years or however long it took that he lost in being sent to the foreign land and pushed around, done all these things and all this evil happened to him, you know, who knows, but how many years it was. In one moment, he recovered all. In one moment, he went from being in prison or experienced a quantum leap. And God put him on top of the world in one moment. Hallelujah. Pharaoh put his stamp on it. You are Joseph and I am Pharaoh. And there shall nobody move a hand in Egypt or anywhere else except by you. Everyone will bow the knee to you, including Potiphar and his wife, and everybody bow the knee to Joseph. Hallelujah. And so from prison to prime minister in one day. And God wiped away all of those things. But in order for the word of the Lord by the dreams to come to pass, even despite his own errors, because the errors of his mouth, you know, shooting off his mouth to his brothers that made them to hate him. Also, his father preferring him over the brothers made them to hate him, and so on. And he hated him even more for his dreams. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. The word of the Lord, God watched over it, and he orchestrated things in order to bring it to pass. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me freely speak to you of this thing, this saying today, that God use even your errors. Hallelujah. Even the error that Joseph made in shooting off his mouth to his brother, should have kept his mouth shut. Even the error that his father made in preferring Joseph above the brethren, buying him a rainbow coat and talking of him as his, you know, favorite son and all of this, which parents should never do. Well, Jacob did that. And those things made his Joseph's brothers to hate him. Even all of those things, God used those very things. Hallelujah. So God can use even your errors. Now, if we walk in wisdom and the spirit of the Lord, we'll make fewer errors. But even the errors that you may have made up to this point, God will use even that, can use and will use because of his word that he wants to bring to pass. Nothing can stop the Lord. Nothing. I mean, you might suffer a little if you are foolish and instead of using wisdom, but one way or another, God will bring his word to pass. Praise the Lord. And in order for his word to come to pass, let me summarize today's lesson by saying, in order that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, which he has already spoken to us, God will begin to set things in motion. For some of you, he has already started doing it. And for others, it's coming. And whether you realize it or not, it's coming. The widow woman, the Zarephath, widow of Zarephath didn't realize that, you know, her redemption was coming, but it was coming. Whether you realize it or not, the four lepers didn't know what they were going into. They thought they were just taking a chance. But whether you know it or not, it's good for us to know it, you know, because then we can have understanding by the books or understanding by the word that we have heard. But you may not know, you know, it all, because God will never tell us all of it. In fact, our mind can't handle all of it, you know, but we must believe that the word that God has spoken will not return void, but it will go forth and prosper in the thing whereunto God sent it and accomplish God's good pleasure. That's what we must believe. But he will watch over his word to fulfill it. Now, I think we have said enough, you know, to stir us up and stir up the spirit of faith in our hearts for us to embark on this journey. This year, it is indeed your year. The other day we said, well, get on your marks, get set and go. It's your year. What else are you waiting for? Yesterday we talked about unyielding, relentless and unstoppable faith. You know, I mean, we put so much in your hands to help you on this journey. It is now time for you to go. Hallelujah. Now, God has given you commandment. What are you waiting for? The Lord said to Joshua, have I not commanded you that you should go? Hallelujah. The Lord has commanded you, believe the Lord. And you know, Jehoshaphat, he knew how to put it. He told the people, he said, look, believe the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe also his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Yeah, well, I don't call myself a prophet or anything, but sometimes the prophetic mantle comes upon you. And when you give the word of the Lord, then people better believe it. That's how you prosper. You believe the word of God. You believe God himself. That's how you are established. And then you believe the word of his prophets. That's or the prophetic mantle. That's how you prosper. And so may the Lord grant every one of us the grace to believe so that we will prosper. Let's not be like the ones who did not believe. For what if some of them did not believe? According to Romans 3:3, shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? God forbid. The word of God is going to come to pass nonetheless. Whether the man said, can God make windows in heaven and open up and make this thing come to pass? Whether he believed it or not, it's going to come to pass. Now, he will be the one that will miss out. So let's not be the ones that will miss out. But it is coming to pass. The Lord bless everyone that listened to this. Give you understanding. You know, Paul said, look, I speak as unto wise men. The Lord give you understanding on what I say. Now, I'm speaking as unto wise people. Your minds are sharp. I declare that your minds are sharp to receive instruction from the Lord. I declare that you have understood these things in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, well, have you now understood these things? Well, I declare that your mind is clear. Your mind is sharp. Your mind is not clogged up by fear, anxiety, unbelief, or doubt. I declare that you are not, you know, looking back and constantly thinking of past failures. I declare that you are strengthened. You've got the energy of the Holy Spirit to go forward. You have the power of God on your side. Hallelujah. I declare that the mind of Christ is with you. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit has shown you great things to come. And you are believing God and moving forward. And the Lord will watch over his word to do it. Thank you, Father. I give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.